Track 4. And more news now. A Devon-based masseur has been jailed for 4 years after being convicted of sexually abusing three of his clients. Ian Nichols, 64, formerly of Newton Abbott, appeared at Exeter Crown Court for sentence on Friday, the 24th of October, having been convicted at a trial of 4 sexual assaults. Nichols was found not guilty of the sexual abuse of a 4th complainant. He must also sign the Sex Offenders Register for life. During the trial, the court heard how Nichols was at the time of the offences working as a massage therapist in Newton Abbott. Officer in the case, DC Tia Smallridge, said, "We welcome the sentence given to Ian Nichols, who abused his position of trust in the worst possible way. Each of the victims, all detail being alone with the defendant and feeling too fearful to speak up following their experiences for fear of what could happen. It was only when they returned home that they made disclosures to family, friends and the clinic manager, who encouraged the complainants to come forward and report the matter to the police. I would like to thank the victims and witnesses in this case for their continued support in what has been a long and protracted investigation. We hope this sentence reassures victims of sexual offending that all allegations will be taken seriously and thoroughly investigated by our officers."
Council approves ugly development. Developers have been given the go-ahead to build on green fields on the outskirts of Newton Abbott, despite having their plans described as ugly. Councillor Jane Taylor said the plan from Persimmon Homes for Langford Bridge Home Farm should be turned down. "It's very unattractive," she told a Teignbridge Council Planning Committee meeting. "In my view, it's ugly. We need to be pushing Persimmon for more attractive houses." And, she said, "there was no safe way for pedestrians to get in and out of the site, making it unsustainable." However, Councillor Taylor's move to reject the scheme did not get a seconder, and the committee gave the plans the green light. Outline permission for the development was given as long ago as May 2020, and the latest application covered details of appearance, landscaping, layout and scale. Buildings could be up to 3 stories high on some parts of the site, but planning officers say designers have tackled earlier concerns that some of the buildings could be overbearing. Robert Clark of Persimmon said the homes could be available to purchase in 2026 and would help tackle local housing needs. Local people will get first refusal on the homes for the first 2 months. Councillor Phil Bullivant reminded Persimmon of its responsibility to maintain sites once they have been built. He added there are other Persimmon sites where management companies have a terrible reputation for their failure to look after them in an appropriate way. He also urged the developer not to set the prices of the self-build section of the site too high for prospective local home builders to afford. The committee voted by 7-1 with 1 abstention to pass the plans. Following the decision, Dan Heathcote, Managing Director of Persimmon Homes South West, said, "We are delighted that the planning committee at Teignbridge District Council has approved the second phase of our development at Langford Bridge following the success of the first phase. This next stage will deliver 88 high-quality homes, and our local homes guarantee affordable housing provision and investment in local infrastructure means that this scheme will make a lasting positive contribution to the Newton Abbott community. New cycle and pedestrian routes, public open spaces, biodiversity protection zones will form a key part of the scheme, with existing trees and hedgerows retained and dark corridors created to protect bat habitats. The local homes guarantee offers people living within the Teignbridge area first refusal on most homes for the first 8 weeks after launch. The phase two approval will also deliver 18 affordable homes, 13 for affordable rent and 5 for shared ownership, with a mix of properties that meet local housing needs.
The front two pages of the local papers this week, and I think for local papers nationally, have been taken over by the News Media Association. They write, alcohol licensing notices are a type of public notice which are used to make local communities aware of plans to sell alcohol in the local area. This could be plans for a new pub or bar, or for a venue to vary the terms of its existing license, for example, by extending or changing its hours. However, Prime Minister Keir Starmer and Business Secretary Peter Carl's plans to axe alcohol licensing notices in England and Wales are placing your right to know at risk. As part of measures aimed at helping the hospitality sector, which is still recovering from the effects of the pandemic, ministers are proposing to remove the statutory requirement to publish alcohol licensing notices in local papers. And there's a follow-up article on this theme in the paper. We're supposed to live in the information age. However, the trouble is, if the Labour government at Westminster gets its way, you'll be kept in the dark about key developments in your neighbourhood that directly affect you. And as much as we like to think that everyone is plugged in and connected to each other and everything in this brave new digital world, the reality is that many of us simply don't have internet access or aren't glued to our smartphones or computers every hour of the day. We still rely on old-fashioned ways of disseminating information and keeping us up to date, and that's why public notices are vital. With planned changes to the licensing laws, you might wake up to loud music booming from a local pub or hotel at ungodly hours of the morning, simply because you were never told that the facility had applied for late-night entertainment and drinking at all hours. If you need to know what's going on, public notices provide that service. But not if Labour carries through on its proposals to change the way pubs and hotels inform you about what is happening.
Demolition plan for Vandal Hit Factory. A landmark building in Torquay that was once one of Torbay's biggest employers is to be demolished. The Electron building on the Woodland Trading Estate was once the base of CFAM, engineering company that employed hundreds of local people making high-quality electrical instruments. Now an application has been filed with Torbay Council for permission to knock it down. Architects K. Elliott have lodged the application to demolish the building and clear the site ready for redevelopment. It belongs to drinks wholesaler Tolchard's, which has its base next door and bought the old CFAM building last year. The building is a three-storey concrete-framed office block, and the local demolition firm, Gilpin, says taking it down could take 28 weeks. Work could begin next month if permission is given.
Dawlish poets launch first anthology. A group of poets in Dawlish have published their first anthology of poems. 14 members of Dawlish Poetry for Pleasure, which meets every month, put together a collection of 86 poems on themes of nature, the sea, the countryside, personal experiences, and Dawlish. Editor David Picton said, "The anthology is a collection of voices, each distinct and engaging. They range from lyrical reflections on sea and landscape to humorous character sketches, myths, memories, and moments of everyday life. These poems are heartfelt, diverse, and deeply personal. Each contributor offers a unique perspective, yet together they create an inclusive celebration of creativity and our own community." The book, titled Poetry for Pleasure, an anthology, is being launched at the Manor House in Dawlish on November the 7th and will be on sale at the Tynmouth Book Fair the following day at Tynmouth Pavilions.